Seems like everybody's talking about Portland these days. That's thanks in large part to a certain television show on basic cable. It's called Portlandia.
Remember when people were content to be unambitious, sleep till 11, and just hang out with their friends? When they had no occupations whatsoever, maybe working a couple hours a week at a coffee shop?
Right, I thought that died out a long time ago.
Not in Portland. Portland is a city where young people go to retire.
But hold on a second. Not everyone who moves to Portland is a 20-something slacker looking to coast through life. I met up with two families who came here with solid jobs in hand. We'll catch up with former Detroiter Carla Danley in just a few minutes. But first, let's meet Marie Montalbano and Ted Lehman. Ted's a social worker, and Marie teaches special ed students in the Portland Public School District. When they decided to get married this summer, they had a problem. Ted lived in small-town Athens, Ohio. Marie lived in Chicago. She thought Athens was too small. For Ted, Chicago was
a great place to visit and enjoy, but the noise, the congestion of people.
So we knew we would have to find a place that was a good compromise and a good fit.
For Ted and Marie, that place was Portland. It was hard to put a finger on what makes it so attractive to them. It's the big city amenities coupled with the small town vibe, the emphasis on local food, the mild winters, the proximity to mountains and the ocean. Ted says they didn't necessarily see all that when they first visited Portland, but
we did see a woman with her turtle on a leash walking it across the street, and that definitely had this like, oh my God, this is so Portland.
But unconventional pet care wasn't the deciding factor in why Ted and his fiancée settled on Portland. For that, we turned to Forrest. He's Ted's 15-year-old son, and in the end, it was Forrest who played a key role in getting the family to move to Portland. Forrest takes his education seriously, very seriously.
I have very strong ideals about how children and kids and students should be equally respected and given more broad aspects in like learning and being able to pursue their own interests.
Forrest figured the local public school system back in Athens, Ohio, wasn't going to cut the mustard, so he launched a nationwide search for the perfect high school. Two of his top choices were in Portland. He carefully crafted an application essay. It was good enough to land a spot in the exclusive Metropolitan Learning Center. It's a public school, but Forrest says in a lot of ways, it doesn't feel like one.
It's totally different from my old middle school.
For example, he's on a first-name basis with his teachers. He says classes rarely follow a textbook, leaving plenty of breathing room for student creativity. Forrest likes to get to school early to hang out with friends and catch up on schoolwork before classes begin. He says the Metropolitan Learning Center is turning out to be just the kind of student-oriented education he was looking for. Detroit native Carla Danley was also looking for something new, not education, but a nicer place to live.
I think a lot of times when you think about people leaving the Midwest to go to other parts, it might be a story about job opportunities or, you know, an improved economy elsewhere.
She wouldn't have found that in Portland anyway. Repeated budget cuts here statewide have shuttered schools. The unemployment rate has been above the national average since the mid-90s. But Danley already knew how bad Oregon's economy was. She figured, correctly as it turned out, that her skills as a nurse would land her a job anyway. And there was this.
I really embrace the beauty of the wilderness of Oregon, and I think that's very different from places that I've lived in the Midwest.
Danley also likes to get around without a car, so she figured Portland's bicycle-friendly reputation would suit her just fine. It did. Carla is not here on her own. She met her husband back east, and for a while, she persuaded him to live in Detroit, where she grew up.
Then I said to my husband, thank you so much for coming to Michigan and not divorcing me, because Michigan is sort of an acquired taste. You know, you love it if you're from there, and, you know, not so much if you're not.
Her husband uses a wheelchair, and it was important for both of them to have easy access to public transportation. With its light rail and frequent bus service, their new neighborhood fits the bill. But Danley says despite the good public transit, natural beauty, and abundant cultural offerings, there is something the city lacks.
As a black person, life is a little tougher in Portland than it is east of the Mississippi. There isn't really a sort of rich, diverse black community in the way that, you know, I'm accustomed to.
It's true. Just 6% of Portland residents are African American, compared to 83% of Detroit's. And she's not the only one to notice the homogenous nature of her adopted city.
Portland is still not a diverse town, you know, unless you count different shapes of beards as diversity.
That's Jack Ullman. He's a nationally syndicated political cartoonist with the Oregonian newspaper in Portland, and he's a Midwest native himself. And Ullman agrees with Carla Danley on this. What the city lacks in diversity, it makes up for in natural beauty. Ullman remembers when he flew out to Oregon for his job interview.
And I have never seen the Pacific Ocean. And it was the most beautiful day in the history of the Pacific Northwest. And once you see that, you're not going back. You're not going to go back to Detroit. You're not going to go back to Columbus. You're not going to go back to Minneapolis.
The state also had the kind of quirks that would please any political cartoonist. It was the first state to allow physician-assisted suicide, for instance. But the mid-90s is when something else started to happen, especially in Portland.
All of a sudden, it was just this, you know, renaissance where it was just the coolest place in the world to live. And I had not really experienced that before. Living in the Midwest, it was never the coolest place in the world to live.
Ullman says it's around that time that Portland started to feel like, well, Portlandia.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the political culture here has established this kind of Amsterdam without drugs vibe to Portland.
But Ullman says, make no mistake, most Portlanders bear little resemblance to the characters in the television series. You know, the ones who ask to see the pedigree of the chicken they're ordering for dinner.
The chicken you'll be enjoying tonight.
You have this information. This is fantastic.
Absolutely. His name was Colin. Here are his papers, okay?
That's great.
He looks like a happy little guy who runs around.
But most Portlanders have embraced their city's namesake television series. It's one of the many things that helps set their city apart. And after decades of embracing quirkiness and livability, Portland continues to be a magnet for people looking to make a change. I'm Chris Lehman in Portland.